Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 635. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Did you guys see that Trump was indicated? I don't even know what that means. Oh, indicted. That's completely different.
That sounds way worse.
Indicated. Earl is here.
Did you know that this podcast is also part of Summer Game Fest? This is part, I think, six of the Summer Game Fest, sponsored by Jeff Keighley. He'll come by soon with your DoorDash code, so stay tuned for that, folks.
Jeff is here as well.
Hello.
One day, Jeff, one day.
I had a good one once, and then, like, we didn't do it that week, and then it's just fucking bullshit.
It's gone you for life. Like, I can't do this anymore. I've had enough.
As Earl kind of mentioned, Summer Games Fest went off this week. I mean, I don't really know what Summer Games Fest is.
Let's celebrate all these games that nobody cares about. Woo!
So, like, Jeff Keighley had a show. And I think that's what Tony is referring
is it,
to.
But in like, his mind, is it like he has replaced E3?
Yes, I believe so.
Is it I mean, unless there's like really no games coming out. There was a lot of games shown, but I think there was like one or two I was interested in.
I mean, and to be fair, that is kind of what we've been saying for most of this year. It's like, it's a really packed first half. The second half is kind of barren.
Well, I'm guessing at our other non-E3 events, we're going to find some cool shit
which Jeff Keighley is branding as, even though they're not his events, like Microsoft's events and Ubisoft's events, he is branding them as Summer Games Fest.
It's not even that stuff. This stuff, like, the end of the month.
Yeah, so there's something in June 29th or something like that. Yeah, Capcom. He's like, Summer Games Fest continues all the way through the month.
So, I caught the last, like, 30 seconds of this show.
The only game that people were super excited.
Yeah, I did see you know, 30 seconds of that. But then he comes on and he's like, yeah. And then on Sunday, there's Microsoft's like show, and like I was just like, it was like what Chris just said. I'm like, is he trying to pretend that, like, does he have anything to do with that?
No, absolutely nothing. Nothing.
So what the fuck?
He's just decided, like, E3's gone. I'm gonna brand everything as Summer Games Fest. I'm moving in. I think the problem with that is what this showcase was, is that the main publishers, like, they were there. Capcom was there, Sega, Sony. I don't think Microsoft had anything. Ubisoft, but like the EA had it, but they're games that were either already revealed or like smaller games that, you know, we give you this, Jeff, because, you know, you're doing this thing.
Hey, but Focus Home Interactive had a celebration. It was I have never seen so many games from them before. They must have had like 5 or 6 games.
Yes. Lots of stuff, including the new game from Don't Nod, published by Focus Home, I guess. Banishers, Ghost of New Eden. I think that was when I blacked out. I don't remember that game. It's on this list here, but I don't remember.
John Carpenter's Toxic Avenger.
I do remember that.
Whatever.
That does look fun.
That is the next Left 4 Dead-ish game to disappoint all of us. That is the next one right there.
I just crack up because you know that Carpenter's like, yeah, pay me. You can put my name on it. I don't care. You know, like,
he wrote a paragraph for it.
Right.
Yeah. Dude, he's just so funny about that shit. You don't care. Yeah, give me an order. He probably won't even play the fucking game.
Like,
who does play games, though?
Who is the developer of that game? Like, I saw it was Focus Home Interactive. I was like, oh, it's going to suck.
Let me see.
It reminds me kind of even though I don't think anybody brings it up anymore, it's like when they had George R.R. Martin come out and be like, yeah, I'm the one who's like writing Elden Ring and stuff like that. Nobody refers to it as like George R.R. Martin's Elden Ring.
So this isn't terrible, Tony. Saber Interactive is the developer. They did World War Z, which we played and kind of liked. Like, it was decent enough. I mean, they're not a AAA studio, but
no.
They they made a good one of these previously.
I will guarantee you this. George R.R. Martin did way more for Elden Ring
than whatever Carpenter
fucking did. John Carpenter is collecting a check.
I don't doubt it.
I should get him to do the music, though.
But if maybe it's cheaper, it's on Game Pass, I am willing to give it a shot.
Right? I will play any of these games if they're free. There were a lot of them where I'm like, okay. If it's free, I would play that.
The game I was most excited about was the new 2D Sonic. I think it's called Sonic Superstar.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and
we could get into the announcements, but I will say this much to kill you. One, I did not. I realized this is the first one that I've audienced because as soon as it started, it felt off. Just because they would cheer for everything, but then they stopped doing that.
Yeah. They were not cheering for anything.
Yeah, like, that was the issue.
Well, he started off strong, right? Yes. Like, he started off with Prince of Persia, which isn't, it's not like a huge announcement. It looks kind of like a 2D, 3D side-scroller. Really, yeah, like, it looks fun, but it's not Sands of Time.
Yeah, it's not a AAA title.
But, like, still, big franchise.
Not even Sands of Time.
Right.
It looked it looked cool. It looked like you know what it made me think of is like the 2D Metroids that they did on 3DS, like the what's the set developer? Mercury Steam.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one kind of that. It's like kind of like give it some cool 3D graphics, but it's a 2D, you know.
The 2D game. Yeah, like that's kind of the vibe I got from it. So big franchise to start, and then they followed it up with Mortal Kombat, Mortal 1 Kombat.
Yeah, the problem is Mortal Kombat is great. It went off like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was really long. And then he lost the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, there were some announcements where there were, like, two people clapping. And, like, great. How do the developers feel about this presentation now?
Mortal Kombat does look great, but, like, it really does. Like, I love, like, the stages look really cool and stuff.
I don't think there's any butt to it. It's just, like, it went off.
But I have a butt. My butt is that, like, how are you... You're never going to beat the lineup of Mortal Kombat 11, dude. You had, like, Terminator, Rambo, fucking RoboCop. Like, unless you're bringing that all back, like, you're never going to beat Mortal Kombat 11. But I'm still interested. I'm still probably getting it.
Okay. I assume nobody does this. I want to see a list of the games and announcements in order because I thought the pacing of this was really what killed it. Because there's a segment where we had, like, I get it, but like they did like 5 minutes on The Witcher TV show. Let me clarify.
They did?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. There was a 5 minute Witcher TV show between.
How's that?
It was like they had like an intro from the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Twisted Metal looking?
Terrible. Oh my god.
Terrible. That looks god awful. It looks so bad.
Oh my god. Right. That was the other one, but hold on. But
So you want the there's a live blog from Rock Paper Shotgun. So let me see if I can pull that up.
Like you're right though. It was so choppy and weird, and like there were times at which Keeley was doing like a 2 minute introduction to each clip,
yeah.
And then there were other times where he would like introduce three clips in one segment, and then the clips would all play back. Like, what are you doing?
Yes, and that's what I wanted to point out because like that's literally what happened with The Witcher. The Witcher was like 5 minutes, and then there's like three or four games right after The Witcher finishes that get like no kind of like. Announcement. It's just like here's some games. I'm like, oh, this is such a weird. Like, you get jumped in after The Witcher. That is you're not even getting up for other games. You're after the TV show, which is I understand why people associate it. It's not based off the video games. It's based off the books, which the video games are also based on.
And then he just would throw in some of like the worst interviews imaginable, like just in there.
I would say the interviews. this is what I would say overall. We'll get to it, but this was reminding me of the best and the worst aspects of E3.
Yes,
like he had those really awkward. Like I loved him to death, and he was fun. But we had Nick Cage up there for 5 minutes. To do, we got maybe 15 seconds of gameplay.
I think, though, my favorite moment of the entire show was when he starts to talk like he's about to make a really great game announcement, and the fans start to, like, get excited. He's like, no. And he breaks into, like, commercial.
That's where the DoorDash reference comes from that I mentioned.
Yes, that's...
Because he showed Fantasy Ever Crisis, which is like the mobile game, and he's like speaking of Final Fantasy, and the crowd goes nuts. He's like, "Wait, no!"
Like, it doesn't. Like, his transition there made zero sense either.
And,
like,
but that was the one moment where he looked real. He looked authentic. He seemed like an interesting person. Like, that was the best moment of the show for him.
Okay, so you wanted it in order, right?
Yes.
Earl. All right, so Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which we kind of talked about.
Mortal Kombat 1.
Mortal 1 Combat.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme playing Johnny Cage.
Which is such a... I mean, I understand, like, they talked about how they wanted to get him forever for it. I'm also like, the dude's like 30 years older now, and he does not look like Johnny Cage anymore.
Path of Exile 2 was next, after 10 minutes, 12 minutes of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That game, I mean, I'm a fan, but the game looked so dark, and I don't mean, like, gritty or anything. I mean, literally just, like, dark.
And the attacks didn't look power. Like, they only showed the one character, and it's like a sorceress or something with a lightning spell, but her attacks didn't look powerful. She was getting mobbed, and, like, it's like, I feel really uncomfortable, like, with her. But it's fine. Path of Exile got a minute. Then Street Fighter 6 Exo Primal crossover got a trailer.
Which is the most random thing in the world, because it's like Ryu fighting dinosaurs and portals or something like that. I'm like, sure, why not?
Yep. Let's see.
Then that was Nick Cage, because I remember he thought that was the most insane crossover we have.
Yes.
Here's a peek at, like, Nick Cage and Dead by Daylight, and then Nick Cage came out for his interview, and again, Nick Cage is very charming and stuff, but, like, it was weird because it started off with the teaser that they showed us when they announced him a few weeks ago. He comes out for an interview, and then they show, like, 15 seconds of him running around. And, like, the big thing he talked about was, like, how he recorded all of his lines and grunts and stuff like that. And then you get, like, one line from him in the trailer. I'm like, what's the point of having him on stage talking this up then?
I mean, it was because, you know, they have Nick Cage.
He's available.
Yeah. I mean, he looked great. That suit was snappy. Then it was The Witcher, The Witcher show. Then it was, let's see, Witchfire trailer. That was a game.
That was a game.
First-person shooter thing.
It's like a first-person fantasy game.
Did that look good at all?
Again, it's one of those games that, like, this is a segment, like, I literally, it's just like, it's The Witcher, and I think, like, this and the next two games were just kind of bundled together, and, like, yeah, okay, moving on.
Yeah, and the Witchfire is done by a company called The Astronauts. And the only game that you probably know from them, Jeff, is a game called The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, and that was a decade ago. You might not even remember that one.
That title.
It was a walking sim. Like, you walked around.
Those games.
This is a straight up first-person shooter.
Not put a gun in your hand. You got some.
Yeah, it's I guess you. I don't know. It's like you're hunting witches or something.
Okay, I saw screenshots of that one. I was like, is this a thing? Is this anything?
Then,
well, because there was two of them. There was also one later on that I thought was interesting, but I don't remember the name of that. It's like, okay, Crown and Throne or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Throne and Liberty. Yes.
There we go.
Crossfire Sierra Squad was after Witchfire,
and that was VR.
Yes. And it's funny because Crossfire the game that came out last year for Xbox. Remedy did the single player, and it was like trash.
And it's always gonna, like, it's never gonna be Crossfire. You'll get caught up in the. But yes, it's also a really weird. The trailer reminded me very much of. I love him to death. It reminded me of a Nintendo trailer where, like, a lot of it is the guy in, like, his apartment hiding behind his couch and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they brought in his buddy, and she played alongside him. It's two player VR because people have that. Remnant 2 was shown directly after that.
I don't even remember what that one is.
It's fantasy, big monsters that you're fighting, but your fantasy guys are also dressed like cowboys. Just some of them have guns, some of them have swords.
Yeah, does not ring a bell.
Clearly didn't strike with you. Then it was 2D Sonic.
Sonic
Superstars.
Which I am, it's really good. It does look a bit slow for a Sonic game, but you know what? Slow it down, make it a good game. And I assume it's going to have the same issue that the new Super Mario Brothers Wii and you had, where it's like, yeah, if we're going to have four players, we got to make it so that people can actually keep up and play the game consistently.
Yeah.
And
stuff like that. You'll have to be able to bubble people.
Well, this is Sega here.
The one right. thing that I'm kind of iffy on, and I've not confirmed it yet, is that the website only makes mention of local co-op. I've not seen anything about online co-op. And again, I could be that I just missed it. I'm just going to
kind of assume that it would. But I think
like you said, Jeff, it's Sega.
Yeah, I think Sega will, in most cases, include online, but, like, they just, you know, yeah, but you never know. But I think it looks really good. Like, I like that art style a lot. Yeah, I thought it looked really good. Like, I'm, like, all in on it. But, like, I was kind of surprised that it's a full-price game. I guess initially, Best Buy put on there's $70. I was like, that's just a placeholder. They have no fucking idea what they're talking about. And I quickly got corrected that no, it's actually going to be $60, which is, like, honestly more than I thought it would be. It seems like a $40.
Yeah, I thought this was a $40 game.
Yeah.
But
I'm interested though. I like, you know me, I love Sonic.
Me
and Earl are going to be playing.
Well, again, if it has online.
Yeah, if it doesn't have online, we're going to have to, like, go somewhere central to play. after that was, I'm going to mispronounce this, Hong Kong Star Rail?
I guess it's getting fine.
I want to get star railed.
Like, honestly speaking, I just feel like at some point I just checked out and I didn't realize they did.
It's evidently like a Genshin Impact type game, but sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
And they were saying it's coming to PS5.
Yes, okay. The one with the anime boobies.
Yes.
Those games just kind of they go over my head. I remember seeing it now, but
Lies of P was next. That is the Dark Souls-ish Pinocchio game.
Right. Those are words.
that there's a demo. Evidently, there's a demo you can play now, I think, on Series X and PS5 and PC. And it's out in September, I think.
I would also say, and I don't remember, like, there were times he'd introduce games, and I'm pretty sure he was just making up words. He's like, it's this real-time fantasy, first-person adventure action walk and sit. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? How can it be this many? And you're looking at it, like, the shooter. I'm like, I don't know. Like, there were times he said stuff. I'm like, this is word jumble. That does remind me of the other thing I did enjoy. Because I guess he got tired of people making fun of world premiere. So he didn't use world premiere. He used global game announcement.
It's not terrible. I don't hate it.
But it's still just a
really... It's world premiere, yeah.
I mean, you have to say that, and you have to be wearing, like, dark thick glasses and, like, a white shirt with, like, pocket protectors, and, like, it's like the nerdiest possible way of saying world premiere.
Yes,
you're 100% right. It's like the dork way. After Lies of P was Sandland, which is the with the Dragon Ball guy. His RPG anime-ish fighting combat game. I think that might be where you heard all those words together, Earl.
Probably. Another one. It's fine, but a lot of people are so excited. I'm like, I guess it's based off an actual anime. I'm like, okay, sure.
Okay. I'd never heard of it before. It's like, oh, that guy's doing that art style that I don't really like. So that's cool. Then there was a teaser for the Annapurna Interactive Showcase on June 29th. Which was part of Summer Games Fest.
That one got me because I'm like, oh, you literally are having a commercial in your commercial for another commercial. Okay, sure, we're doing that.
Yep. Then Throne in Liberty, a cinematic trailer, but that is a fantasy MMO.
Okay, maybe that wasn't. Oh yeah, that's the one you could turn into a bird, an eagle. That was really cool.
Yeah. Then the very generic name of Warhaven. I don't remember that.
No idea.
Party Animals was then shown.
I guess Party Animals in the same minute.
Maybe. But there was a Party Animals trailer. I do remember seeing that, and I was like, I thought the same thing, Earl. Isn't this game already out?
I've heard about it. I mean, maybe it's just one of those, but yeah.
Evidently not. Let's see. Demo version of the game was released June 16th, 2020.
Oh, God. So that's no wonder. It seems like that's 3 years ago.
And it's still, I guess this is the final release. This is the 1.0 release of Party Animals. Because it was still in development as of this time last year. Let's see. I totally missed this one. Crash Bandicoot MOBA Crash Team Rumble.
I can't imagine why you would try to eliminate that from your brain.
Well, I mean, we knew about this. The thing I'm confused about is, like, I think it's already out.
This is saying out June 20th.
Okay. Because yeah, it's that stupid thing where it's like you got to go up points by getting Wampa Foods back to your base and stuff like that.
But I think that what you're kind of touching on here, Earl, is a problem with this presentation. Either the games are forgettable, or we thought they were already out, or we already know about them.
There's a lot of... It started strong, it ended strong, but even the ending was... We'll get to that in a second, I guess.
Yeah. Alan Wake 2 was after that, then they brought out the Remedy guy. I don't know who he was. They brought him out. He talked a little bit about Alan Wake. They showed a trailer. Alan Wake. I mean, that game looks good, I think, but... Space Marine 2.
Gears of War Light.
Yeah. Gears of War with only three gears.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the first Space Marine was kind of fun. Like, it's not a great game, but kind of okay. Let's see. Yes, Your Grace, Snowfall. Cinematic Kingdom Management RPG.
First game was kind of fun. It's basically like you're a king and you, like, make decisions for your kingdom based on the stuff that's happening around. It's a super, super light strategy element, and really, like, heavily into, like, pretending you're a king and trying to, like, you know, do things that a king does. So people come into your throne room and, like, I have a problem. Like, bandits attack my farm, and you can either, like, tell him to move, or you can, you know, send soldiers out to the farm. Like, that kind of stuff.
Got it. Then it was John Carpenter's Toxic Commando,
which we touched on. Not Left 4 Dead, I guess. 4 now. Four. I mean, we got Back 4 Blood, we got World War Z, which we do enjoy more, but that is also not Left 4 Dead.
I think World War Z was the only one of those games we actually enjoyed.
The only one we played all the way through.
Yes.
Was Zombie Army. Zombie Army 4.
Yeah.
Zombie Army 4.
Okay. So we played through two of them. We made it through two of them.
Look, they made a decent one enough of those before. We played it. If it's free, we will play it.
Free on Game Pass, we're in. We're there. Yeah.
Yep, totally. Baldur's Gate 3.
The
game looks good.
It does. It looks very good. I don't know why it needed to be part of this show. Didn't really make any sense, but sure.
Nope. Another game that we've known about for years, forever. Spider-Man 2, this was weird.
They didn't actually show any of Spider-Man 2, right? I didn't just miss that. They showed nothing of the game.
They showed, but it was gameplay. I think it was just clips from the
Oh, yeah. Venom. Oh, that's right. Peter Parker is Venom.
He's different now.
As part of the interview, he was explaining,
they did give a date for it, October 20th.
Yeah, which was wait, why did you not give a date when you had an event 2 weeks ago? I can't imagine a lot changed in that 2 weeks. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah, when they had that huge, it was a 10-minute gameplay demo. And so they waited to give that to Jeff Keighley and didn't really give him much of else, but we give you the release date. Then Pal World was shown. Jeff Keighley described this as Pokemon with guns.
My kids are super excited for that game. I was actually disappointed by the announcement because that game was announced for 2022. Then it was announced to come out sometime in 2023. And the fact that it's early access in January 2024 is just disappointing.
I feel like somebody had an idea. Pokemon in... With an adult Pokemon, and they were wait, how do we actually make this a game now? And I think that's been the whole tub.
Then there was a commercial for the new expansion of Black Desert Online. I think that was paired up with a monitor commercial at the same time. It was weird.
One of the characters looks like Ganon.
Yeah.
There's this weird thing.
And then the one that we were very confused about, the Lord of the Rings Return to Moria.
Oh, God.
not by the Gollum guys, Earl.
Okay,
you did ask that earlier
because you bet when you mentioned that Gollum does not refer to my character name. I'm like, okay, this is supposed to be Grimmy, right? But they don't say anybody's name. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's that where it's we can make you Lord of the Rings, but we can't. Say it by name.
The game developer is a company called Free Range Games. I don't know. Let's see what games have they produced. MVP Football, the Patrick Mahomes Experience in 2021.
I don't even know.
Is that a VR game?
I have no idea. Jenga AR. They did Jenga AR.
I was also very confused because the gamepad at some point looked like it was a 3D Lemmings. Because you just say breaking bricks and creating tunnels. And then at some point it switched to combat.
Yeah. At first I was is this Lord of the Rings Minecraft? And
right. That was my first thought too. Are they just kind of mining their way through things and finding stuff? And then it looked sort of like tower defense. And I have no idea. I really have no idea what the game is.
That game is coming fall 2023, evidently. My guess is it will be delayed. after that was Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis. That's a mobile game. I don't know. That was weird, too. I thought the multiple different art styles seemed to be happening in that game.
Yeah, I was very confused because it's the cutscenes, not the cutscenes, they want to go retro a Final Fantasy VII look. But then the actual game looks like Final Fantasy VII Remake. So I'm like, this could be interesting, but it seems so very jarring.
Yeah, I need more details on that. We will see. Then Don't Nod's Banisher's Ghost of New Eden, another Focus Home published game. That's a brawler, third-person brawler. Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name. I don't know. I mean, that's the Yakuza series. This is not the turn-based. It's not like a Dragon, what was it, Yakuza 7 or 6 or whatever the last one was. It's not like this is a return to like the brawler Yakuza-type games. Something called Under the Waves. Okay, this is Quantic Dreams. I was fading in and out here.
Yeah, I honestly speaking, that second hour just dragged forever. Not like the first hour. Like the first half an hour was decent, and then it went on for another hour and a half.
Yeah. Under the Waves is a Quantic Dreams game. I'm sure that there are lots of quick time events in that. Sizzle reel for Call of Duty Warzone Season 4. Fae Farm? I don't know. Farming Sim? That sounds like a game your wife would play, Jeff.
Yeah.
Marvel Snap? New mode?
Which was such a weird, another weird announcement.
That guy was crazy. He was like super excited.
I saw that the guy was real hyped or whatever. I didn't see it. I wish I watched this.
Oh no, like, he's very like, he does the Marvel Snap updates, and he's
like someone doing an impression of him.
I don't have that energy. I have the passion. He's very but the problem is. Is that the Marvel Snap update? I mean, I played that game. The Marvel Snap update dropped. It started as they had a very nice trailer that he was hosting on over the weekend or Friday or something like that, where it's like it's set up in the newspaper style. He's like an old timey reporter. It's like Sapia. It's really fun and goofy. This is where they announced a new mode. So what they did here, they didn't even announce what the mode was or what it does. They just like we have a new mode coming next week. And then I forgot the guy's name. He's a ton of fun. But then they had that YouTuber who makes like all of those goofy like anime.
Show.
Okay, but like he and then he
I,
did
I
it.
Adore him. He's so much fun.
Yes,
I watch all of his videos.
Then they had a thing with him, and that was it. I'm like, you didn't even show the game. So I don't understand what this announcement is for here.
I don't know. King Arthur Legends Rise, another game I don't remember seeing in this.
Well, they didn't really. They showed like some characters. They didn't show any actual game.
So the developer and publisher of this, Kabam Games, has never made a console or PC game before. So good luck with that, I guess. It's also a free-to-play game, so.
Great.
Not super excited on that one. Wayfinder? You guys might need to help me on that one. I don't know.
That was some game about people who died and came back as Wayfinders, and they died heroes and came back Wayfinders.
That wasn't the bird game, was it? Where you turn into a bird?
I don't think they were birds.
Okay.
It reminded me more of like a fantasy type Destiny game. That's kind of what the vibe I got from it.
I can get behind that. You know, if it turns out to be good. Fortnite.
Never heard of that. What is Fortnite?
I mean, as the resident Fortnite player, super stoked. It's fun. I mean, now that the dinosaurs are back, we get, you know, like more kind of ancient temples and stuff like that. The flip side is like, I also didn't need this. The season drops tomorrow. I would figure that out anyhow. So the game will also show this to me when I start it up tomorrow. But, you know, it's a big get. It's one of the biggest games in the world. So it's a huge get for him. I mean, it had to be. I think it was like the second or third to last thing to go on.
Then he has. Okay, well, maybe there's another Fortnite announcement, Earl, because there's a whole bunch more here that he has. Space Trash Scavenger. I don't know.
Don't remember this at all.
Nope. Star Trek Infinite.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't even clear. Oh, he skipped one. He skipped one because they announced the Stellaris game, which was canceled and then uncanceled by Paradox. So I'm not really sure. Like, it's like you can play through an entire universe in like an hour because it's like a mobile game.
Ah.
I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to say you skipped Twisted Metal.
Nope. That's next on the list after Star Trek Infinite. Twisted Metal TV series trailer.
It looked horrible. Anthony Mackie, what are you doing? Why? Why are you in this? What?
Okay,
did you forget how to act?
I was going to say, I will defend Anthony Mackie. And not okay, this isn't a defense. In that, like, a lot of Marvel actors have not really made great choices outside of Marvel. And it looks like he just wants to join the crew. Because I mean, Tom Holland apparently is taking a break from acting after picking so many crap roles. And yes, it was who was Sweet Tooth?
Samoa Joe.
Well, Samoa Joe's the actor, but apparently he's not the voice.
Oh, Ron Perlman, right? That's what I had heard. Sweet Tooth actor. Voice actor. No, Will Arnett.
That's why Will Arnett announced the trailer.
Yes, it was such a weird and jarring thing. So like, I'm so accustomed. Will Arnett has a very comedic voice.
Yes.
That is not what I think of when I think of Sweet Tooth. Like, I feel like they're trying to Sweet Tooth him to the Joker, which is not who Sweet Tooth is, but yes, it was very...
My concern is they think this trailer makes the show look good.
So what is the actual show?
the game is is about cars.
Yes, where are the cars? Like, they should be showing off cars.
No cars, it took place in a casino.
It's basically Anthony Mackie spends the entire scene getting beaten up by Sweet Tooth, and then they start singing at the end.
Yes, I mean, you would think it's about cars, but the teaser focused on Anthony Mackie, the poster focused on Anthony Mackie, and this focused on anything else. I'm like, at some point, I guess they get into cars, but like, it is not like, you know, everybody's like, video games are kind of finally be taken seriously after Mario, like the highest grossing movie of the year. You know, Us of Us is a critically acclaimed TV show. We've had Castlevania. I'm like, you folks got to remember, we still got a lot of road to go. There's a lot of questionable decisions to be made. And this is like right back to being like, yeah, we can make really crappy products off of video games still, too. So don't forget that.
Probably make a badass B movie out of Twisted Metal. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have Death Race.
Yes, that's what Twisted Metal is. It's Death Race.
Yeah.
Like, Jason Statham and some cars with guns on them. Like,
yeah, there's like six of them. You could make a really cool Twisted Metal movie as a framework for it. That's not what they chose.
No. After that is a game called Lisfanga, the Time Shift Warrior.
This is interesting. If this is what I'm thinking of, where it's like you can create copies of yourself to kind of do combat.
Yes, that is the one.
Yeah,
I think that's also the one that Chili came back and was like, "That's a cool little indie game." There, it's like, that's weird to call that out, buddy.
Thanks for saying that. I just wanted to make sure you knew that was an indie game. I'm telling you right now.
Thanks, Jeff. then they brought out a guy from EA. He showed off some Immortals of Avium, which is the kind of Call of Duty magic type game.
That was probably the game from the show that I liked the most, looked the most interesting to me.
Okay, maybe this is the one I'm thinking of then, where it's like they would do magic and like part of like people would do different colors that you did stuff. And that is really fun. Yeah, that is really good.
Yes, yes. That is the game.
Yeah, and it's coming out soon. Like, I immediately, it wasn't on any of my lists. I'm like, oh, I'm adding that to my...
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize it's July 20th. Wow, yeah. That is very soon.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, that does not bode well. Like, I'd like to think that if this game was going to be really good, like, they'd have marketed it more, but then
September,
again...
September, October, November release, like...
Yeah, so maybe it looks good in the trailer and isn't actually good, but... I am intrigue.
I'm not opposed to shifting some release dates around and us actually getting games in July and August now, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Then it was, so the other Fortnite thing, Earl, was evidently about being able, the Unreal Engine 5 or something.
Yeah, okay, so they shipped at it because the Unreal Engine thing came first. And then, okay, so I know what this is. This is, they had that scissor reel for Unreal 5 where Fortnite editor was in. And then the season trailer was the second last thing.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh man, they make Fortnite so generic now. They snap it of all of its color and personality. And then it's like, oh, this is the editor. This is what you're going to be on PC for now. So I don't have to worry about it.
But yeah, then they showed the new season. Wilds and Optimus Prime is in the game as a human-sized Optimus Prime.
Does not look great at all.
No, not even a little.
And then finally, the show ended. And he ended it with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is the second Final Fantasy VII Rebirth game. That game looks decent. I like the remake, so that this one looks like it's expanding on the story. Like they're leaving Midgar, they're out in the open world, but it still looks like Final Fantasy VII remake. So I don't know. That was a weird show, very weird show.
Yeah,
like I said, it was best and worst of what. Because again, I think E3, everybody always glorifies like E3 as like this amazing thing where we get all these huge announcements, and it was. But there's also a ton of awkward celebrity appearances, things that went on too long, half the things you didn't care about. The difference is, I think, with like especially with the big three, is like you usually had strong enough content. Like we had a really strong start with Prince of Persia and Mortal One Combat. And a very good end with Final Fantasy. The problem was there's an hour and a half in between those two segments of the show, which just a lot of it felt like a massive amount of time wasting. I think what I said afterwards is I think there's a really good 40-45 minute show in here. It just went on for like another hour or so. Because I get given a stage to all types of games, and I think I will give them credit. There was a lot of variety here. It wasn't just a bunch of shooters, or there's fantasy games. There were some more indie games. We had colorful games. We had like big open world games and stuff like that. Credit to that. Again, credit for having some developers out there. Flip side, and I have seen this complaint from several people, which is completely legit. Not a single female. Woman was on stage at any point in the show?
Sure, I did not see one up there.
Yeah, so that is a completely legitimate thing that he needs to work on in the future. I think that, there's no way for him to control it. This was an audience of journalists, but a lot of it was fans. And yeah, I think for some of it, they took me out of it. Because again, it's sometimes very, like, people sometimes think about like fans and the reactions and how, but it also works the opposite way too. Like, if you have a really cool game and nobody reacts,
right,
it's just so deflating. Like, there were games where I'm like, oh, this is not going over well at all. Because you kind of come in, like, this is in person. I'm assuming some people traveled for this, and you come, you expect like these, that the E3 of dreams or something like that, and that's not what you got here.
No, I think, yeah, but like, is there an E3 of dreams? Like, if you think back to the actual E3s, like, they were never that great.
Well, no, and that's the thing is, but in our heads,
there's that one where they announced that game Dreams.
Yes,
there was also the one where they announced the Wii Heart Monitor. Like, it's just like all of this weird crap.
Did Wii Music ever come out? Because that happened on stage.
It,
too.
It did come out. Yeah,
it did.
Yeah, it came out on Wii.
Okay, that, if you say so.
That year.
Yeah, the, I mean, Earl's right. It did come out. October 20th, 2008.
Yeah, it came out that year. They weren't just showing it off.
received a 5 of 10 from IGN.
Yes, it was not a great game for it to come out. But yes, you get, and I mean, to be fair, that's also something that's very memorable, maybe for the wrong reasons, but there's a lot of stuff that exists in between there that is just like completely utterly forgettable. And I feel like this was a lot of that show was like, because like when the highlights were, I mean, aside from Mortal Kombat and Prince of Persia and Final Fantasy and Sonic, I would say a lot of it was at Keanu, Nick Cage on stage. Honestly, I think those would be the four big highlights.
Going to be remembered.
Yeah, those are like going to be the four things that people are going to remember.
And they're going to remember until those games come out. They're not going to remember Summer Games Fest 2023.
Like, no, none of it's going to be remembered.
Like, even the Nick Cage thing, it's not as, like, outlandish as some of the other...
No, it wasn't like that organic, like, Keanu Reeves, I love you too moment, or anything like that, but...
Right, or when EA brought out Pele on stage for one of their, you know, EA conferences, and he just looked so awkward, like, the entire
thing. Or that, that crazy guy who makes those two-player games,
Oh, the guy who...
Oh, yes, Yusuf.
Yes.
Yes.
You guys know what I'm talking about, like, No Way Army Out.
Army of Two, It Takes Two.
Yeah.
That guy was memorable.
Not Army of Two, yes, you're right. But yeah, got ton of personality, but yes. And that is what you get for, fifth, is that DoorDash moment. Should not have been memorable, but because of that awful transition, that is going to be like one of those moments that sticks out. And I'm almost certain that he will reference it again at some point during like the Game Awards, because you can't, like, it was just the call and shout from the crowd was so not what he wanted, but you could see how everybody got there.
So, yep.
I mean, let's call it spade a spade. There was no subtlety about how the audience got there. When you say you're talking about Final Fantasy, there's only one way to follow that up.
Well, Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest continues on Sunday.
Oh God!
Actually, I think there's something tomorrow, but
and there was also something today. I don't know if you have it up. Devolver Digital did their thing. I did not watch this year.
No, I did not.
Because I did not realize it was going on. I actually forgot that Summer Game Fest was going on until like yesterday.
Day of the Devs was immediately after Summer Games Fest. Then Devolver Digital was after that.
I mean, just a quick run through from The Verge. Apparently, Wizard with a Gun, The Talos Principle 2, Baby Steps, Human Fall Flat 2. Okay, yeah. I think at some point I saw, I don't know where it was announced. I think Shadows of the Damned is getting remastered.
Okay. That's fine. See, the Wholesome Direct on Saturday. I don't know what that is.
That's like the indie, it's like an indie direct. It's like really cute. It's a nice one.
Okay. And then there's Future Game Show on Saturday as well. It's an hour after Wholesome Direct. And then the PC Game Show Sunday at 1. Well, that's okay. That's later in the day. So Xbox and Starfield is 10 a.m. Pacific time. And then
as,
the PC
as is traditional, scheduled directly against my annual conference.
You not able to watch
every year.
It's also kind of funny because I mean, Kyoyu was doing all the press for Summer Game Fest, and like one of the things I think that came up was like nobody wants to do like that, you know, like nobody wants to fight for attention, nobody wants to do like that 1 week of. And I'm like, but that's kind of what we ended up with anyhow.
Yeah,
like, it's still just kind of just it's just everything moved from Monday Tuesday to Thursday Friday because we had stuff on the weekends and it would do Monday Tuesday, and now it's like no, we just do Thursday Friday.
Well, now it's just spread out. It's like Gorilla started this off last night. with their Guerrilla Collective, or yesterday, not last night, but they started off, and then you had everything that was today. You got the stuff tomorrow. You got stuff Saturday. You have Xbox on Sunday, Ubisoft on Monday, Capcom on Monday. it's just extended itself. Like, it's not, it's still all a week of gaming news.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's Summer Games Fest. Jeff Keighley would like to claim the rest of the showcases as well. So, the Xbox showcase is his. So is Ubisoft.
Titties, yeah.
it's all Jeff Keighley's now. I don't know. I'm interested to see what Xbox puts up there. I don't really like. They need a good show, but also they really just need games on our hard drives at this point. Like,
honestly speaking, at this point, and I always hate saying that, the barometer for a good show for them, it's not that high. And no. I mean for them, but I also mean in comparison to everything else. It's Sony did not have a great show. Summer Game. If I was to rate them, I would say Sony is probably a solid C. This is probably like a B minus.
Yep. Yeah. It would be easy for Xbox to have what looks to be a great show, but at the end of the day, they need to release their games.
Send me Starfield, maybe another game.
Xbox, you know, puts on great shows frequently.
Yeah, but we need those games. Nothing ever happens.
It's cool. I can make a great show too, I guess. I can like make shit up.
You can't keep promising us stuff and then not ever giving it to us.
And I will say, I get it, but I'm a huge fan of like him already being like, yeah, we're not gonna do like everything you see here is coming on in the next 12 months, which is already a telling sign that like, oh no.
Oh, so there's gonna be stuff that there's like, this is 18 months, 2 years out. Great. Phenomenal. That's kind of scary. All right, well, that's games coming out in the future. Played some games that came out.
There weren't any big releases this past week, though, were there?
Jeff has basically been sitting with a sock under his ass and shitting into it, as he hasn't stopped playing Diablo since it came out.
That's a good idea.
Wow.
I'm going to send that one to Melissa, see if she approves, and then you're good to go.
She'd probably be in, man. She loves Diablo.
Diablo 4 is out.
Get her a sock, too.
Yeah.
Jeff, have you hit level 50 yet?
No. I am level 28 or 29.
You're about 10 levels ahead of me, so I'm not that far behind, I guess.
What's funny is, though, story-wise, I still have Act 1 missions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because so I'm just doing every other, you know,
side quests and stuff. That's what I'm
doing. Yeah, like, I wait to, like, you know, when I want, my buddy wants to play you know, to do like the story stuff, but even when me and him play, it's like we're just like, you want to go do this dungeon I found? Like,
yeah, you know? that's what's kind of neat about this Diablo. It's open, so cool. Open world this time, and there's like caves and dungeons that you can go do. And like, yeah, you go down them, and they're full on actual dungeons with a boss at the end of them. And maybe, they're just randomly in the world.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's someone you could talk to in the game that tells you to go do it. But yeah, like we just stumbled on. Like we were going towards the mission last night, and he's like, "Hey, you want to do this little cave or whatever you see over here?" And we go in it, and we're like, we're halfway through it. And we're like, this is like a dungeon, right? Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, it was. Like you had to do things. You had to like collect these two items, put them on pedestals. Then it opens up a boss, and yeah, it was like a full on. I fucking love this game. But anyways, kind of just jumped into it there. I'll give the wheel back to you, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's out. Diablo is out. Jeff's played a lot. I played a little bit less than Jeff, but probably a lot, too. I'm almost level 20, so...
You're getting there, yeah.
I think that's a pretty good chunk.
Friend Sean has played more than all of us. I think he got the Ultimate Edition, where you got it early or whatever.
Yeah, he's been playing since Friday, so...
He's helped me sometimes, like, there's these strongholds. The whole game scales to, like, whatever your level is.
Your level, yes.
So it's like, you know, Except, though, when these strongholds that you find, they're, like, consistently two levels above you. I've found two of them so far, and they're always, like, you know, two levels above. And so I'm guessing that, like, they kind of want you to do that with somebody. Because even with somebody there, it was pretty hard. But yeah, and from what I've heard is that the game will stop scaling with you after you reach level 50, at least on World Tier 1. So you could, once you get level 50, you can like power up beyond.
You're power leveling past, and like you can just kind of cakewalk everything. But
and I think that's when you start your Paragon shit. So
that makes sense. Although it does, I think the levels do go up. Like, is there 50 Paragon levels or? See, it does go up to 100. I know somebody reached 100.
At least 100. I don't know.
I think
the max.
I know 50 is where they stop giving you skill points. Like your character is kind of locked in at like whatever build you've done. You can respec, but you would have to, you know, refund whatever your points were. But you're never getting more skill points after 50.
Okay.
I don't know. It's Diablo. We talked a little bit about it because Tony played the beta. And I think maybe made a mistake playing the beta because I've played less time now, and I think I'm a little bit further than where I was in the beta. But like that's to begin, I was like, I've already kind of done all this. Like it's not new to me. Where you, Jeff, were like, this is cool, like because you had not seen any of it before.
So. Yeah, I went in like pretty fresh on it, and like. To me, it's such an improvement over Diablo 3. Like, and I like Diablo 3. I do. But like, my preference is Diablo 2 because it feels like it has more stakes and it's a little harder, right? And they got that right back in this, in my opinion. Like the way I don't know, this the combat feels a little more methodical. You're not just like blasting through shit quite as easily, and the limited potions I think help a lot with that. So
what class are you playing as?
So I am playing main as a druid, which I love a lot. And then I finally got my wife to start playing, and she made a sorcerer. So like honestly, my go-to would have been sorcerer. But
got it.
She made a sorcerer, and then so when I'm playing with her, I started a necromancer, and so yeah, I've done druid and necromancer, although way more of druid. Like,
okay, so I'm mostly playing as a rogue, but I did start a barbarian because there are class specific achievements for all the classes. So yeah. Like you have to do some. So I was like, I might as well like dabble in this. Barbarian much harder to play, but my rogue is very much spec'd like when I played demon hunter in Diablo 3. And I'm just tearing through enemies, like, and from afar because, like, the rogue uses a like ranged weaponry, and I'm just like, I've died once, and like, not on a boss, just like I got mobbed and wasn't paying attention. I died multiple times with the barbarian, so I'm just wondering, maybe the rogue is just broken, like.
I don't know. I think he'll run into places where you'll have troubles
because like you said you and you were playing on World Tier 2 to be fair.
I was for a little while until I realized
you hit that first boss and you were like we had trouble and like I did not have any trouble with this boss like on solo like I just like totally like wiped through it and it could just be like the rogue is very nimble. You don't engage up close, so like I'm rolling out of the way and staying out of range, so I was never like getting hit.
Yeah.
So, it's very like all the classes play very differently. So
that's true, but I still think that you're gonna run into. I don't know. I find again that first boss I did find to be difficult, especially like near the second half. Like the end of him was just like. It's and like when you're playing with someone else, like on these bosses, like you could revive someone, but it, like becomes hard to do when there's like 8 billion things happening at once. Because as you're reviving them, you're getting hit,
and then, they're spawning more minions, and
yeah, and so it's like it stops you, and so like if you try to get greedy with that revival, you could get killed. Like you could end up getting killed too, and then it's let's start over.
And I haven't played the co-op, so if your buddy dies or you die, like clearly you can revive, like your teammate can revive you, but can you respawn and then rejoin the fight? Or
yeah.
Okay, so you can like run back through, like it'll respawn you back at the checkpoint. You can run through the dungeon.
Oh no! No.
Okay,
no,
you can't.
No.
Okay.
No.
You can, so it's just, you, it's just you a revive.
You can revive, okay. And that's it.
When Jeff was saying yes, he actually meant no earlier.
Yes, okay. Like, no.
Yeah. So if you and your partner go in, or partners go into a fight, and you go down, you have to be revived. You can't just like wait out a 30-second timer and respawn, come back into the fight. Got it.
So, fuck, if you can, I don't think so, dude.
I mean, what's good about reviving though
is that, like, you know, you walk up and there's a bar that fills up to revive, and if you have to, like, all right, I need to dash out of here, you go back, the bar will still be where it was in terms of progress, because otherwise I don't know, like, again, it just gets swarmed sometimes. Like every boss, like near the end, it seems like you're just getting swarmed by a million things, so it's like really hard to do a revive.
So it's not like in some games where you go and like you're healing, or you're like, if you get interrupted, it completely resets the bar. That's nice. That's a good.
I was playing with my friend earlier tonight, and I thought I had fully revived him, and I rolled out, and I'm fucking fighting shit, and I'm like, then I see his ghost still over there, and I was like, dude, did you die again? He's like, no, I'm waiting for you to revive me. I'm like, I thought I had you, dude. And so I ran back, and I like, you know, another half second, it filled up completely. I was like, I'm sorry, dude. I thought I had you. So, yeah, like it does stay. The bar stays where it was. But, it could be really hard to revive.
Like all these games, like especially early on, like you're constantly getting new equipment. Like new weapons, this sword or this bow is stronger, this staff is stronger, this chest plate is better defense. Like you're always changing in and out your equipment. So that's always fun.
I think that will carry through the whole game. But I think at this point, in terms of my skill tree, I'm like pretty set my ways in terms of like the skills that I'm using. And I'm like fully invested in the ones I like. I don't see it changing much. Although, if you do decide at some point, like, it is very easy to respec.
Yeah, like, and you can do it right from the menu now.
Yeah, it's very easy.
In past games, you had to, like, go find a vendor to do it before. Now, it's just, like, you bring up your skill tree, and you press a button, and it just takes the gold that, you know, it's gold to respec, and very quick. Like,
you know, I really thought about the things that I chose initially in terms of my skills going through the tree, and like I am so set in like the set of skills that I have laid out, like I love them. I think the druid is an awesome class, and at least so far I like him way more than the necromancer. Now that's not fair to the necromancer, because like I'm not as leveled up as the necromancer, but sure. Yeah, I don't see this necromancer taking the edge. Like the druid just has a good set. Like you get a good set together of things where it's like, you know, like I can drop poison like around me, like an area of poison, and that lasts a while. And then when that starts to run out, oh, I can pull up a hurricane around me, and that goes for a while. And it's like you could kind of like cycle through your things as they're cooling down. And, you know, and then I got, like, one good ranged attack. Like, you know, it's, I love the druid. I'm, like, so happy I got forced into picking him, because Melissa always... So Melissa is right now, she started a second character. Guess what class she picked?
Sorcerer.
Yes. She
started a second sorcerer.
She started a second sorcerer.
Okay.
But I don't understand if you're, you know... She wanted to have a character so she could play by herself by doing herself. Stuff like Got this, it. Like doing a podcast or whatever. And I'm like, and she's like, I made a sexy boy sorcerer this time. And I was like, it's like you made a second character and did not try to.
You didn't try like the barbarian or nothing, the rogue.
Aren't you curious? To have the game feel a little different than playing the same game twice.
I mean, she likes her class. That's what she likes.
I mean, look, I don't blame her too, but there's other cool stuff out there.
You're always trying to get her to try new things, and she's always doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's bad.
Very simple.
It's good. It's I think it's a very good game. The story is stupid. I know, Jeff. You don't pay any attention to the story.
Well, you know what's even funny is I'd be trying to watch the cutscenes, and my friend is just like, skip. I skipped. Like even like the little dialogue ones when you're just like getting the quest and someone's talking to you. He's like, I skipped it.
Why? I never understand. Like, okay, if you played through the game several times, or
once, yeah.
Now you start skipping through shit. But why the first time you've never heard this before? You don't know if it's good or if it's bad. Why are you skipping before?
I don't know. Sometimes the quest, like, there's instructions in what you're supposed to be doing in the dialogue.
I know, and I'm a person who, I don't care about stories in games, but I usually the first time, like in this, I would let them play out and then like half pay attention. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then like Tony said, they do sometimes say things like that. You have to like. There was one instance where my friend was like, "I don't get what we're supposed to do now." I'm like, "The dude just told us, dude. Like, you skipped. I watched it, and he said things that were kind of important." But yeah, it's just so funny that I'm the person that like again.
You, who always skips the dialogue, including in points at Zelda where we made fun of you because you made it harder for yourself.
I do not skip. Like, usually my first time through the game, I let it all play out, but, like, I'm just, like, looking at Twitter and I'm like, oh, yeah, I thought I heard something, you know.
You're just not paying attention.
Yeah. Like, I let it wash over me. I want the flavor, at least, of what's going on. And, my one friend's just like, I skipped it. He's like, oh, you know... I'm sure this guy's telling us that we have to go kill some people so that we could go kill some more people. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. And that's actually literally what one of the missions was. It was like, you have to go kill this everyone here so that you could kill this person.
This will be the only time I ever complain about my children. So my older son will always skip through the dialogue no matter what. And then I will have to go and look up in missions what he's supposed to do next because he's skipped... The like, part where they tell him what to doing. Do.
The good thing about this is it's really easy to bring up. Like you bring up your map, your quest log is like a button press, and all the quests kind of have like basically like I accidentally skipped over something and it's like shit. What am I supposed to do? And like just look at your quest log and it kind of gives you the instructions.
You could read it. You could track the quest. You could even pin. And this is my favorite part. Pin the location of the quest, and then on the mini map, you have a little line that, like, you know, it's like you're driving in your car. It's always telling you where to go. I love that. I love that feature. I use it constantly. Even if I'm going like 50 feet, I will pin location just so I know, if I wander off. Looking at shit.
It's kind of the fun for me, though, is just like because the game world is so expansive. And like, if you do just wander off there, it might be a cave or something.
You do sometimes really find stuff. I find like there's like a main town. You know, if you hit down to go back to town, it'll take you back there. Like, I keep going back there and getting new side quests. There's like new people.
Yeah, new people show up and new quests pop up.
There was like in the town, like I've been in this town a million times now. Someone talked to me and they're like, yeah, come into my cellar. And they walked in their house. I walked in there and there was like a little thing to do in their cellar. I'm like, man, this game is just like, I don't know. I think like you guys are selling it a little. I guess are me and Chris the only ones that have played this?
I
guess
I have it pre-ordered, but I have my conference this weekend, so I didn't want to start it right before that.
Tony did play the demo. The beta.
I feel like a lot of people are selling this short by being like, yeah, it's not really revolutionary. And it's like, yeah, I guess, but like, it's also not Diablo 3 again. Like, it is fucking way more than that, in my opinion. And like, it's easy, like, easily for me, and I'm only, like, again, I haven't beaten the game. It's like my favorite Diablo game. Like, it's no question. Probably the most excited I've been about an action RPG Dark Alliance, which is, I know no one gives a shit about that game, but that was the game that got me into these games, and I'm like, this is the first one that's lived up to that memory. Like, boy, do I love it.
It's been very fun to play, so I'm glad to hear that, like, you're maybe, I don't know, a few hours ahead of me, I guess, but you're still in, like, Act 1, so it's beefy. Like, it is not...
There's plenty to do. Like, it's just easy to avoid doing the main... Like, because, again, that's literally what I'm trying to do.
So many side quests. Like,
I'm trying to, like, not run too far ahead of my buddy.
The side quests are cool. Like,
yeah, they feel...
Like, there was one that I got where it's like, oh, this lady was like, my husband came home and he was away. I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard my husband talking, and it was to this other woman, and I went out and confronted them, and they both ran off. And like, it's like, now that it's daytime, like, I want to go find them because they haven't come back. And like, you go find them, and like, the woman that was talking to him was a demon, and she had seduced him and basically like flayed all his skin off. Like,
what was the name of that quest? Do you remember? Or no?
I don't remember. Like, it was in like the.
Now I'm wondering if I did that and I just skipped all the fucking. Yeah, like, that sounds cool.
you get to like the end of it though, and like, you come up and like the demon is talking to the husband, who is staked, like, he's chained up, skin's off, and he's like, he's talking about like pleasure, like. It's like straight out of like some horror shit. And then you have to chase down the demon, and when you get back, like, she's like, your reward is, like, if you want a reward, take the knife to his chest, and when you do, he dies. Like, it's nuts though. Like, there's some really cool, like the side quests, I think, are better written, and probably because they're shorter than this main quest, which is like this all in comps, like, hell and heaven are at war, and we're in the middle.
Like, just a smaller, more human kind of story. But like, that's one thing I've noticed. Again, like in Diablo 3 or 2, like, I never paid attention to anything. I don't care, whatever. I'm supposed to go kill stuff. But like in this one, like, when I'm listening to what people are saying, I'm like, this sounds like more interesting than the other games. And then like, my buddy's like, skip, and even my wife too. Who normally, like, would not do that. She's like, skip. Because I think they're just such veterans of Diablo 2 and 3 that they think there's nothing interesting there, and they just don't care. They just want to play the game, which is normally where I'm at. But, like, to me, what I've seen of, like, the story shit is, like, it is more interesting than the other games. So, I don't know.
Oh, be interested to see where you fall on it. Right now, I'm like, this is pretty goofy. Like, I think I enjoy the stories of like 1 and 2 better than 3 and 4 so far. But I'm very early in 4. So
the actual story itself, I will probably not give one shit about. But again, it's just like when you run into someone in a town, they're like, "Can you help me out?" And like, they start to tell you something. I always find it to be like more engaging than
100%.
Like, then, you know, whatever the bigger story is. Because it's just like, it's just simple. It's like, yeah, like you said, my wife ran off. And you're like, okay, what's going on with this? Like,
yeah,
I don't have to know an entire history of, like, a fight between the fucking whatever, like...
Yeah, like, the whole one, like, oh, the Herodrum, which is, like, the big monk-like thing, the organization that keeps all the records on the demons... Like, I don't give a shit about that anymore. Like, that stuff kind of played itself out in Diablo 2. And it got really goofy in 3. And now you don't even have, like, your lore master in 4. Like, he died in 3. So, but it is these little stories that you're getting, the side quests and stuff, that I think are really neat. Like,
that's the stuff always in games that, like, gets me more, is, like, just, like, the little thing you could run across. You're like, oh, they actually, like, wrote a whole little, like, script for the, you know what I mean? Like, Like, that's interesting to me, but, like, yeah, generally don't care about stories in game. And normally, like, this type of game, especially don't care about stories, but I just find it funny that I'm the one being like, we should, I don't know, I'm kind of interested in what they're saying.
Have you run into the butcher?
Yeah. I ran into him with Sean.
Oh, did he, does that one Sean beat him? Because I know Sean did say he...
Well, we beat him, okay, but yeah, I did die, like, 2-3 times.
Yeah, I ran into him once in the beta, and he's terrifying.
Yeah, he was a lot. But so, again, I feel like I've ran into a lot of like bosses that are like really kind of challenging. So I wonder how your rogue holds out. I know that's kind of a favored class this time.
Yeah, I mean, I've pretty much specced it like my demon hunter, which is maybe not, you know, similar, probably very similar to what your wife is doing, where she's just like, I want to play my sorcerer, and it's like, I want to spray my arrows and throw my traps and like that's what I like to do. And
wasn't the rogue a class in previous games or no?
It was in 3. It was called the demon hunter. It's still the rogue though. It was a bow based class, like with a like when you get up close, it's like quick strikes.
Like dagger type shit, or
yeah, she can hold swords like well, this one can. I think in 3 you were stuck with daggers, and this one you can hold like short swords, which is a cool looking effect because everything is very detailed in the game. So like you see like the weapons your characters are holding, and when they change, like if you have a sword in one hand and a dagger in the other hand, like. You see the difference in length, and it's really neat.
Now, the only thing I'm wondering, and I still like, we do not have confirmation or whatever of this is, can I play locally with my wife and then invite my buddy?
You should be able to, because
I know that you couldn't in the past. Hmm. Like in Diablo 3, like my friend was like certain you could not. But I don't get why not. Like what would be the barrier to doing that? I don't understand, right?
Sometimes I don't think it's a barrier. It's like how to, like, again, I don't know how Yoku Pay works. I've only paid it online, but sometimes they do it because it's like, you know, like in Diablo, even though you pay together, you can kind of go wherever you want within a ring, and it doesn't break the screen. Where like Yoku, you have to kind of keep it on one.
But what does it hurt if me and her are playing and my buddy comes and he runs off my screen? Like, so what?
No, I mean, yeah. Sometimes it's just a technical thing where they're probably like, we can process it one way, Yoku, one way, yeah, online, but not the same.
But as far as I can tell, because when me and her were playing together the other night, we're still seeing all the ghosts of people in our world. And, like, you know, you can see other players and you can kind of, like, invite them to your game. And it looked like I was able to do that. So I was like, if I could invite a rando player, I feel like I should be able to invite friends. And that makes me think that I have to start a third character for that. Like me, her, and him, we all got to start a new character that we can all play together on that. And I'm going to be doing 3 classes at once. Basically, this game is the game that I'm going to be playing until
the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, I'll play Pikmin 4 as well, but like, yeah.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot of Diablo play in my future.
We did get a random new trailer for that too this week, didn't we? But we'll get to news in a bit.
I saw that trailer. Did care? I thought it would show more gameplay. Didn't show any gameplay.
I was gonna say we'll get to the other Nintendo announcement of this week.
The only other thing I want to touch on is there's a store in Diablo. Like there's a like you can pay real money to get platinum, which is a currency to buy, and then you can buy like cosmetics that for your character, but like that seems so weird to me. It's like the cool thing about the loot in Diablo is that it physically changes the appearance of your character. So like when you pick up a new chess piece, like that changes on your character.
Yeah,
so like why would you want to just buy like a demon skin to wear? Like then like the armor stuff is just stat wise. Like it's
I did send a review. There's a YouTube channel that I called Mortismal Gaming where it's like the guy only reviews after he 100% a game. Now of course he couldn't 100% this one. But he talked about that whole part. He did spend like a section of his review talking about microtransactions. He's like, this feels like something that was forced on them. Like they did not want to do, but they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Here, like, here's you do different fucking cosmetic like colors or whatever the fuck. He said that a lot of stuff looks worse than what you would get in
the game. It's like hideous. Like, I'm like, why would I pay real money for this
stuff? So I just feel like executives that were like forcing them to do that, and they were just like, yeah, sure, okay, we'll do it, we'll put, you know.
I do think it's funny that they're like
their heart horse and soul armor. The actual game.
There's horse armor again. I saw somebody was like, we've come full circle. Come back to the original the original microtransaction.
What was the original?
Oblivion. There was horse armor. It was big deal back in when the 360 hit.
Wow.
And it was expensive too, if I remember correctly. Like Bethesda was charged with like $20 or $25 Jesus for this horse armor. Christ.
Who buys this shit? That's insane, dude. Just
somebody must.
Yeah. There's people that like they get hooked on one game and that's it. And I get it, but it's like, why? Like just play the game. And
yeah, and we kind of had little bit of this talk in our group chat. But like, this is a game like I'm gonna play a bunch of, but I don't get like deep into the end game stuff for this. Like
I will this time. I know I will. But yeah, I hear you.
Like, because I'm moving on to like, so there's so many other games. Like, I'm never gonna play. Like, I just don't have time to play 500 hours of Diablo anymore.
I'm generally like you. Like, once I see the credits roll, I am on to the next thing. But there's certain games, like Elden Ring, like this, where it's like I'm like, oh, this is what I've been searching for all this time. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm gonna play the fuck out of this. So
well, I'm gonna play a lot of it, sure. But like, I'm never. This isn't gonna be like. This isn't my forever game. I don't think I have a forever game.
No, I don't. I mean, there is no forever game. But I will be playing a lot of Diablo this year.
Don't tell no publishers that there's no forever game. They want you to.
Yes, I know. They all want us to have a forever game, Earl. But
well, there is a lot of, there's like people like my wife who like she'll get into one game and like that's the game for like a year. Like that's all she like. Even a smaller game like Dragon Quest Treasures, she played for like fucking 6 months. You know, like did she just will milk anything that she could get out of it, and then she's like, okay, I guess I've done everything now.
And like that's great. I wish I had that ability because it gave me a ton of money.
I'm always wanting to see new things, but like every once in a while I fall on one of those games where I'm like, oh, this is what I have been searching for playing all these games is this. Some of them this good, you know. And Diablo scratches that itch for sure for me.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. We'll be talking more about Diablo 4, I'm sure. And what Tony gets back from his conference, I'm sure he's going to jump into it. So,
oh yes,
we'll have more to say about Diablo 4. Earl, did you play anything this week?
I did not play Diablo 4, but I mean, outside of everything else, I guess I started Earth Defense Force Iron. I've talked about it at Earth Force games on this podcast. I will not regale you with too much tales. I will say this one is the first one that I've played that is actually not made by the actual the standard developer. It's actually made by Yoinks, and it is
they're the wrestling.
Yeah,
right.
I'm assuming they made this after. I think they didn't lose the license. I think they still make it for 2K, but I don't know. But this feels so different. And what is the nicest way I could say this? It's so much less Kung Fu than actual EDF. Like, EDF is very much a B, maybe C tier, or like a sci-fi game. And this is trying to be kind of serious about it. And it's just, it's fine to play, but it's just like, it's not goofy, it's not nonsensical. It doesn't have that like Starfield Troopers humor. Starship Troopers
mm-hmm.
humor. So And then they kind of broke the part of the game that I really enjoyed, which is like getting a bunch of loot and seeing like what random weapons and stuff you unlock. Because you, one, it seems like you have set things that you unlock per level. But like, even after you do that, you then get like, there are 4 or 5 different resources you get throughout the a stage, and you have to get a combination of them to like, then you have to unlock the weapons with that stuff. So like, you unlock it and that you have access to it, and then it's like, oh, but then here's a bunch of other stuff you need to get to actually be able to actually have it in your inventory. And the biggest slap in the face to me was one of the very first weapons that you unlock in the first stage is a weapon that is DLC. Really, it's like, oh, you need to buy the DLC.
That's gross.
I'm like, super what gross. Did you really just give me a weapon and then tell me that it's going to sit here, but in order for me to ever use it, I need to give you money for DLC? That was like the most offensive thing I've seen in a game in such a long time. Okay, offensive to my consumer. There's a lot of offensive stuff in games. And I was just like, oh my god. But it was a game. It was $10. I'm trying to find a game to pay with a different friend. Again, most of my
maybe
games,
if you paid $11, it would have been better.
Maybe it would. Maybe I could have bought the DLC. Who knows? But yeah, it's. I mean, it's gonna scratch an itch for a week for weekends. But like, it's not the Earth Defense Force that I knew enough. So,
There is a new Earth Defense Force coming, I believe. So
there always is. You know, like that quality. It's like Dynasty War. You know, that quality is just like you can spit it out.
Tony, did you play anything this week?
The only thing I've played is shockingly Zelda. I beat the 4th temple, so
there's only 4 temples, right?
Yeah, so there's only 4, and then there's some other stuff. There's a lot. Like, I don't have the Master Sword yet. Like, there's a lot of Zelda left to be played, I think. I don't know. The game is very, very long. I think it's like, I think I need a break and come back. I think that's probably going to end up happening because there's just too much Zelda.
Jeff like blew through it and like he just sat on his couch for 80 hours straight and finished it.
Yeah, I can't do that. Once I start hitting that like, you know, 40-50 hour mark with the game, I'm like, okay, I need a break. I need to go play something else for a while. So I think I'm thinking, you know, head out to that Diablo and then come back.
So. Yeah, sounds fun. All right. Well, I'm glad you are enjoying Zelda. You're certainly playing more of it than you did Breath of the Wild.
It's a little surprising. I was not expecting. Like, I was expecting to play some and then hand off to my kids, and then I kind of feel bad because I've taken the game and haven't played any.
Did you say you're gonna quit Zelda? Is that what I heard you say?
No. Once again, Jeff has skipped the dialogue and missed the important parts.
I find if I take a too long a break from a game like that, I just
can't. I can't be a long break because then you like forget how to play it and you like relearn the controls.
Like, I might as well restart. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, but I need like some time away to do something else because like there's just been too much Zelda and it's all I've been playing and I need something else in my life.
How many dungeons have you done?
He finished the 4th temple.
I finished all 4 temples. 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're close. Now it's just about getting prepared.
Yeah. And like, I don't have the Master Sword. Like, I know I should go out and do a bunch more of those shrines. And like, there's more to be done before I like get into the end game. But so I need
prep. A break. It's all prep. Yeah. But like, you kind of had the meat of the experience at this point.
Yeah.
Can I interest you if you're looking for a game to play in between Zelda? Can I interest you in Golem?
No.
I
think it's probably too good.
Yes. I mean, it's so good that it won't let me finish the game.
It won't let you finish the game?
Yeah, there's a game breaking bug that I've hit. It is known to the developers. You get through to chapter 10 and it crashes. That's the final chapter. And then when you try to reload the game, it just crashes to dashboard. And even cycling back, reloading chapter 9 doesn't fix it because then chapter 9 crashes halfway through. The game just won't let me finish it at this point. And the developers are like, we know we know you can't finish it.
Oh, that's all they said. Not even like we're working on it, or
yeah, they were like, well, like the support person that I was like, well, pass on your information. Like, be good to know if you made mostly Golem or Smeagol choices, because that could be impacted. It's like, are you serious that like if I make too many choices on the good or bad side of your wacky morality system that you have for this game, if I choose to be too good, that it breaks the game? And the answer to that's evidently yes. it's not good, but I was getting into the platforming. It's bad. Like, it's a bad game, but there are some cool like platforming puzzles and stuff that I was enjoying. On the whole, it is a broken game. Like, they do start referring to characters by name in the 8th chapter. So like Gandalf and Sauron and all of them start being called by their names.
I don't know if like nobody's gonna get this far in this game. They won't
80% of the way into the game. Like, and I think, and Tony probably knows a little bit better, probably more of a Lord of the Rings expert, but it's not Elrond. That's not where we're not in Rivendell. We're in Mirkwood. Are those the elves that like Galadriel and them?
Yes.
Okay. So it's whoever the king there is, Tharandol. I think that's who they called him. It's his kingdom that we're in currently. They're the ones.
Like Legolas's dad?
Maybe. They haven't mentioned Legolas, but possibly.
Maybe they don't have that, you know, license for that particular word.
That's distinctly possible. I don't know. There's some cool shit in there. It's just badly put together, and it's like a really bad Xbox 360 looking game. There is the option to put on ray tracing, so you can have Xbox 360 visuals, but ray traced with hair physics, Golem hair physics. But I'm waiting for Didalic Entertainment to patch that game, which they have not done. It has been out for 3 weeks now, so Golem.
It has numerous bugs. They haven't patched it at all.
No patches yet at all.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's
good. Good planning. Good. Well done.
Yeah. And some of the other bugs that I did not get that I'm seeing on their forums, on their Discord channel, is just mind boggling. It's like, how does this happen? Like, and their questions are always like, well, if you made all Golem choices up to this point, it could stall it. Also, if you didn't do this dialogue and this one thing, it may break a quest down the line, even though you shouldn't have to do it. How does this get through QA on PlayStation and Xbox to be released? Like, the game's not playable in certain, like, there are game breaking bugs where it just stops completely for people. Anyway, Golem, game of the year. Earl, you said there was some Nintendo news?
So Jeff, we mentioned Crookie, there was a new Pikmin 4 trailer. Which was, I think you create an avatar character. I didn't actually watch it because I already. There was an announcement of new Joy-Cons colors, which is yay. Okay. But the big one was the reveal of the game of the year that everybody's talking about. The buzz is electric.
Golem 2?
Golem 2. Everybody wants to Switch. The sequel to that other Switch launch game.
Are you serious? I didn't hear this.
Yeah,
this is a real thing. You're not making this up.
Yep. Do you know how impressive, how important this is to Nintendo? Nintendo dropped it on a Friday night with no screenshots and no videos. This game comes out at the end of the month. It is. Everybody thought it was a mistake in their ink. And Nintendo tweeted it. Everybody Want to Switch is out, I think, in like June 29th or June something like that. There's no screenshots, there's no trailer. There's a box art, which I guess exists because it's a digital only title.
Is this the picture of the horse?
The horse guy? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's $30. Yeah. That, like, literally, it was like Friday night.
Content for you.
Yeah, literally, this is, I mean, I don't know, if, I think we talked about this last year when it came out. Like, there's a story from Emron when he worked at Fanbyte, which is like, oh, this game is such a disaster, Nintendo's been sitting on it because they don't know what to do with it. And I assume they were like, we're just going to eat our losses and just throw this out there in the middle of the summer when nobody pays attention to it.
You know what makes me really sad is that they don't realize they had a great idea with Nintendo Land. And a lot of Nintendo Land was very fun. Like,
yeah.
I think they knew they had a great idea with Nintendo Land, but I think in their head, and I can't speak for Nintendo, is that I think very much like it was tied to the tablet concept where it's like, no, I think people like the idea of you have Mario Party, which is a board game with mini games, and you have WarioWare, which is mini micro games. Have one with macro games, I should say. Like, these were bigger, meatier variety games. It was kind of like the evolution of Wii Party.
You know what they should do is with like the Switch 2 is release the Nintendo Land 2 and like build on that, like just do, you know, more cool shit like that. But included in there is like tennis and, you know, because those are Nintendo games too. Like, so you have tennis and bowling. This is kind of like mix Wii Sports into it and then sell that. Like, that's like, it's a game that you get with the system.
It's for as fun and great as it's weird the choices that the things, like, I'm still surprised, like, especially with NSO 09, it's like they've not re-released NES Remix. So that seems like the perfect game to throw on that service because you have the original games right there too. So it can be like, oh, play this game, and if you want to play the original version, we'll put you right into the game or whatever. But yeah, that was like one of the most bizarre announcements ever. Because literally, it was like, I think it was like maybe last Friday, like 8 p.m. or something like that, where somebody's like, oh, this is on the website. Oh, that might have leaked early. And then it's like they tweeted it out, and it's like, that's all they've said so far. Yeah. And clearly, like, you folks missed it.
Yeah, I had no idea. Literally had not heard of this.
Yes. I guess on the same note, Persona 3 Reloaded and Persona 5 Tactica were leaked by Atlus this even. I think they were supposed to, I mean, the trailers are for the Xbox, so, and it looks like they're both on Game Pass. So I'm assuming it was supposed to be part of Microsoft Showcase on Sunday, which it still might be, but
they just mixed that up with
I don't know.
Jeff Keighley Fest. They're like,
maybe, because it did come like right after.
Same thing, obviously.
I mean, it is a part of Summer Game Fest, so who knows?
Right.
So yeah, that is an announcement I guess we can look forward to on Sunday. Which is, somebody pointed out, super weird though, because they just re-released them.
Yeah, well, Persona 3 and 4 just released, right?
And 5, I thought.
Five was last year, I think, but this is a tactics game based on 5.
Yeah, but then 3 is a remake. Yes. But apparently, again, from the rumors, it's like it's a remake, but it's not the definitive edition, which means like it's a remake of the
original 3.
Original, but does not have the content from the handheld versions.
It doesn't have Bolden in it. Got it.
Yeah, it's such an odd choice, I guess, but you can resell it to people as DLC.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, it's been a weird, I mean, I guess that is the true spirit of E3. It's like games being announced randomly or being leaked early. So yeah.
All right. Well, that is the news.
Oh, wait, no, there was actually big news. Huge news, gigantic news, world shattering.
Megaton news, okay.
Megaton. I'm building this up, but I'm actually super excited for it. So, Shredder's Revenge DLC, Dimension Shell Shock, was announced.
Oh, I did not hear that.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, of course, Shredder's Revenge DLC coming later this year, which introduces Yusagi Yojimbo, which is the bunny rabbit the Ninja Turtles always hang out with, the samurai rabbit that they hang out with. He was in the original cartoon. I think he's been in almost every iteration, which is really fascinating. I mean, a quick aside, I already earned this year. He's not a Ninja Turtles character. He was a whole separate character that they just, I don't know, I guess synergy, and they just always cross over. But aside from a new character, it does look like it's going to have, it's going to be a whole, you know, different quest line with new stages and enemy encounters. And then part of it is also like you can get different color variations of the turtles. It's like they'd be the same turtles, like, you know, like was it Turtles in Time? I think is the one, like each one has a slightly different color. So like stuff like that and like different skins for the turtles. So I'm looking forward to that. There was also another beat 'em up announced this week that I don't remember which one it was, but it was like an old school one, really campy and cheesy advertisement, which was great. But clearly, it did not do as well because I do not remember the name of it.
I'm sure as it comes closer, it'll hit our radar.
Yeah,
you guys are forgetting the biggest news of all, the tragic news of Friday the 13th, the game.
Well, yes and no. Because I was gonna say, because we've known the game was going to shut down, because they've not had the license for the game for 4 years now, or I should say the license for the property. They stopped supporting the game back in 2021
when they had big plans to like continue to
support it.
Such a shame. Yeah, it really is.
Oh, it's a really fun game.
It's so fun. It's stupid and it's broken and buggy, but it's so fun.
They had plans to end the Grendel in, right? The spaceship from 10.
Yeah, because yeah. They didn't get to 8. I mean, I think Jason from 8 is in there, but I think stage wise they got to 7.
Yeah, I think you're right, Earl. Yeah.
And
8 could have been fun too on like that weird cruise ship that made no sense.
It's like quote unquote cruise ship. It's like fucking.
I would be so fascinated. Okay, so the downside though is like they did announce that they were. I don't know if this is PC only. They said they were going to make the game $5, but it's still $15 on the Xbox. And the DLC, I think the DLC would be $1 or something like that.
Yeah.
But that does not seem to be the case just yet. But yeah, it's a sad affair thing. They kind of just got blindsided by really, I mean, the whole thing that's been going on with Friday the 13th, which still isn't really resolved. Like, we have that weird kind of split continuity, not continuity, but now you have,
a show coming out on Peacock?
Yes.
It's like a prequel, though.
Yes, because like some people.
I don't know. I need lore to my Jason shit, but
okay. it's like the thing. I don't know if any. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of it, but it's like the thing with James Bond where they did Never Say Never Again, which is like somebody has the rights to a very specific aspect of the universe, but nothing else. So it's like somebody has, because I mean the good thing for them is that Jason, as we know him, is not introduced in the first movie. So that, well, not okay, but like they can go forward with that. But like the people, like, I think it's Sean Cunningham who wrote the first movie, who's saying came in ownership, which is fair. But his career is like Pamela and stuff like that. So you can do a prequel because it doesn't deal with Jason, or he's adult Jason.
So. Yes.
The rights thing on that is very confusing to me, but
yes, it is.
But it's a damn shame because, like, this game, fucked as it is, has just been beloved by people. Like, I think Earl, you and me both like really love this game, right? Like,
yeah,
it's stupid. It's not. There's nothing like amazing about it, but like it's just
a ton of fun. And again,
and it gets like you could tell they care about the franchise.
Yes, they absolutely care about it. And I think you know I think the jank works in its favor because again, I have Friday the 13th as a series. It's not what I would call a fantastic movie.
It's kind of the right level of video game for it, in a way.
Yes. It nailed what event of Friday the 13th is movie wise. That does remind me. I'm sorry. I'm just skimming through.
Like the
when you are a camp counselor, which you mostly are in that game, it's like unnerving. Like, you're just like, when you hear the music, you're just like, oh fuck, dude. Like, that game is actually scary. So, yeah, I don't know. It's really sad to me that it's shutting down. I guess we're going to have Texas Chainsaw to replace it. But to me, like, Texas Chainsaw doesn't lend itself to that as well. Like, it doesn't have as many locations and character, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be a different type of game.
It's just not the same.
It'll be fun. I can't wait. You know, I'm excited.
Yeah. But... yeah, it's not Jason.
Maybe, yeah. maybe a Friday the 13th does hit that $5 mark. We'll, I'll get it for Tony and Walt and Sean, and we could all play it.
That'd be so fun before it goes out. Yeah.
So, I own it. So.
Yeah, and I own it on PlayStation, but I'll get it on Xbox for $5. What I was gonna say, also in the Nintendo world, not really news, but they updated with the Game Boy, Nintendo, and Super Nintendo. So we got Fiesta Master 2.0, which is a Game Boy sequel to Fiesta.
Okay.
Harvest Moon Super Nintendo, which I assume is the original. Mystery Tower, which apparently was a Japanese exclusive game that came over here. And again, that apparently was very difficult to gain access to because of the technology, but Kirby Tilt and Tumble, which is, I guess, Nintendo's attempt at motion controls before the Wii.
Okay. So
that's all out there on the NSO now.
What was the Blaster Master game? Enemy Below, is that what you said?
Yeah, Blaster Master Enemy Below. I think it's like the second one or something like that.
All right. Blaster Master's fun. We did not mention. Illumination is evidently in talks to bring Zelda to theaters. I know Jeff is thrilled.
Well, I think Anua said that, like, when he saw the success of Mario, he was like, maybe we should do a Zelda movie. You saw $1 billion and
you know what they're moving towards, right? Like, this is going to end up with the Smash Brothers movie. Illumination's going to make a bunch of they're going to make Zelda, Metroid and a Donkey Kong, and then there's going to be a Smash Brothers movie.
But I just feel like Zelda and Metroid, I think you could do something more interesting with than Illumination is capable of.
I agree.
That's just me.
Yeah, I think that's everybody. I think that was the fair. It's like, yes, from a business standpoint, when a movie makes $3 billion, I think all parties want to kind of work together again. And I was like very much like, I think Illumination, the Mario movie is a ton of fun. I think a Donkey Kong movie would work. I think something like Pikmin would work. I think, you know, like the Mario universe, they could do Yoshi spinoff, Luigi's Mansion movie. But to your point, like, and I don't even mean necessarily prestige animation or anything like that, but I do think that like Zelda and Metroid are probably a bit meatier story-wise and character-wise than Mario. And even aside from Mario.
Vibe-wise, like, Zelda does not fit the vibe of Illumination to me.
That's more it for me, right? Like
Mario fits.
Yeah, Mario's perfect for Illumination. Like they have like that like playful nature. If you do that with Zelda, you're gonna end up with those like 80s, 90s cartoons. That's not great.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like it might be perfectly fine and fun, but like I also just always imagine something better for those two, for Metroid and Zelda, like something like, man, like Brandon Cronenberg's Metroid.
You're never gonna get that.
You know what I mean? Like it's like just you could do something so cool with each of those. Like, and yeah, we're probably not getting any of that.
Well. I'm sure that that there will be a Zelda movie, whether it's Illumination or not.
I'm kind of happy that there will be, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I love that series. It's cool. It just is an exposure thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, I mean, and it's one of the, you know, I mean, clearly with Breath of the Wild and now Tears of the Kingdom, like, Zelda has, it has jumped whatever its old, you know, popularity was. Like, it's entered the mainstream.
Yes. Yeah. Again, but my beef, well, not beef, is, like, yes, I think a very specific, but, like, even with, like, a, you know, prestige TV show or movies, like, how do you, Mario's universal. Everybody knows. People know, like, Zelda, but you ask what everybody has, like, you know, like, we grew up, I assume, with Ocarina of Time and Into the Past. There's people who grew up with Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. There's people who probably grew up with Skyward Sword. Now Skyward Sword is, what, 12 years old? You're going to have people who grew up with, and they're similar, but also different in conceits and even characters. Like, you ask people, again, Link, Zelda, Ganon, whatever, ask people their favorite side characters in Zelda, and you'll get a swath of different games and universes. Like, I'm particular to the Skyward Sword supporting cast, except for Fee. I'd rather take Midna. Metroid, I think, is much more straightforward, but I think Metroid tonally skews more teen, like PG-13.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, part of the appeal of Mario is PG. You can take everybody to go see it. I saw the most heartwarming, I think you folks posted the most heartwarming video, where there's, like, an elementary school of, like, I don't know, like, 3-4 dozen kids singing Peaches.
And Peaches, like, is phenomenal.
It is. The song of the summer. But, yeah, I don't mean, you saw the reactions to people with Mario with licensed music. I would hate to see somebody when, like, Link appears and holding out for a hero, or, like, Ganon shows up.
Earl. How do you do this?
Earl has manifested this to happen now.
Or Ganon's gonna show up with no one man should have all this power. Bjorn in the background.
Earl, stop. You're cursing us.
I don't like what you're doing here.
I'm not doing anything. Like, literally, people thought I was joking. I mentioned that when this Mario movie was announced, like, what song is Mario going to dance to at the end? To be fair, they didn't dance to any song at the end of the movie, but they had 3 or 4 other licensed tracks in that movie, so. And it didn't bug me as much, but people hated them.
I thought they fit fine. I do think that licensed music in Zelda would be completely out of place, though.
But, yeah, does not mean it won't happen.
No, but, you're 100% right.
But going back a little bit, I do think that, you know, Mario should have leaned on it, the themes that they had. Like, I have not seen it yet, but I'm just saying, like, to put the pop music, I just don't like that. Like, whatever.
They're whipping out that flute. They're going to play the song, and it's going to be Time in a Bottle. Just wait for it.
Time in a Bottle.
Oh, well, there we go. We were gonna do Game Pass Game of the Month, but we're gonna wait till Tony gets back. We're already 3 months behind on it, so we'll wait that out. We will be back next week, though. Okay, Jeff, that was mean. There's no reason to get all upset with the Game Pass.
I like to yell at things sometimes.
That's fair. We'll be back next week. Probably more Diablo. I don't think there's anything else coming out this week, but Earl, myself, and Jeff will talk about the Microsoft event, the Capcom event, the Ubisoft event. It's basically E3, but Jeff Keighley's E3. So,
and remind me, is no okay? Final Fantasy is not next week. That's the week after.
So it is. It is next week, but it's next Friday. So,
okay,
it's the 16th.
Okay, so it won't. Okay.
Yeah, we will have that the week after when Tony returns.
Which is, I was going to say, ironically, when I'm not here.
So when you are gone, I will warp everybody's ears with Final Fantasy 16.
Yes.
All right. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night, Trump.